and have the Spirit of God come and reveal even this to her. Because I'll tell you, that you can't force this. If you force it, it's like, you know, God forces things through destiny and so on and so forth. That's a lot different. See, I don't have that kind of power. I can't force my wife to comply. Fortunately, I have a woman who is a lover of God's word. So, and who is a believer, and who has the Spirit, makes my job incredibly easy. I was telling her that I don't think I'd ever find another woman like you. It's true. Women who are of marrying age, who are willing to be like, you know, I mean, I can think of a lot of older women who are good women. Younger women, pretty rare. And none like mine. Sorry. Even as Christ also loved his, that's just, you know, my own affection overwhelms me. I have to speak that way about it, because it's like, I can't lie. It's the truth in my, in what God, in my sight, it's true. Never, I've always seen in others exhibiting things that it's like, I don't approve of. But I thank God what I've been given. And those men, they'll work it out with their wives. Or the women, or the young women, you know, it's like I see them. I'm mostly thinking of, I think about when I met my wife, what she was like, compared to other girls that age. Because we met when we were 20. And she was so different. So different. But even then, it took a long time for us to establish a biblical husband-wife relationship. A lot of it had to do with my own sin, obviously, because sin, the husband in sin makes it hard for him to be Christ to his wife. Get, you know, it's like Jesus being savior of the world and being a drunken fornicator. It just doesn't work. So it's like when a man is filled with sin and without the Spirit, he's crippled, he's handicapped, he can't fulfill these things. He can't sanctify and cleanse his wife with the washing of with the, you know, I literally sanctify my wife with my word. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, there have been a few people who have benefited from my instruction for years. My wife, other members of my immediate family, you know, have sought and received my counsel and benefited from it. And all the, and those, that small group, they all know what my counsel is worth and the wisdom of it. There are other people who have not valued my counsel, and I mean in family and so on and so forth, who have disregarded it. Fools they are. Because God has put in me the spirit of wisdom. All right? And my instruction that my wife submits to has washed and sanctified her and made her better, you know, better than she would have been without it. As Christ, it makes me better and ultimately perfects me. And so also the wife is perfected by her husband. And in a sense, the husband is perfected by his wife. As God, you know, God ordained that the Christ should be the head of a body. And for the body to be perfect, everything has to be present. So when all come into the fullness of the stature of Christ, when all the bodies fitly joined together, Christ then is fully and truly perfect. It's a bit of a mystery, but it's true. Because I, you know, it pleased God to make him perfect through suffering. Because people think, well, Jesus is already perfect. Yes. But there are some aspects in which he is, you know, he's perfect without sin. But he wasn't perfect in his earthly ministry in regards to suffering on the cross, to suffering and to giving his life, which was what he was sent to do. And same thing with the body. His body isn't complete because not the full number have come in, so it's not perfect. You know, I want to present my wife to myself as a glorious wife, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Not that wrinkles of the flesh, I mean without, I mean in the spirit. holy and without blemish. But that's what he speaks to the church. You know, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. I know people kill themselves. I know they abuse themselves. That's not the point. This is a generalization. People got to understand figures of speech. It's very simple. Say, I always lock the car. This is my general habit. No man ever hated his own flesh. It's the general truth. You know, he feeds his body. He takes care of it. He put, you know, clothes it when it's cold. He declothes it when it's hot. Washes his body. You know, by nature. Now, sometimes things happen to someone in their life that they hate their life. And they want to end it. You know, but in general, generally speaking, no man has ever hated his own flesh. He nourishes the church. I mean, no one from start to finish. You know, people go through times in their lives when the events come together. They become suicidal, or they become self-destructive. But a lot of times, those are cries for help, because they do love their own flesh. Sometimes, it's just, you know, what life is got, it's too much for them to handle. And they hate their life. For we are members of his body. Like I said, that doesn't take away from what Paul's saying. He knew that, okay? I guess I say these things because my mind runs to these exceptions. And it runs to the questions that people could ask, okay? Because I was that kind of person. I wasn't like a faith-oriented. I mean, I was raised in faith. I believed in God. But faith, my faith was always very small. Because I had lots of doubts. Doubts come easy to me. So sometimes I look at things and a doubt jumps to my mind. Now, I'm not going to cover it up. I'm going to let you know. Now, I hope it doesn't happen to cause weakness in people. But you know what? You may come across someone, and those of you who have greater faith, I trust that this has no, you're like, Paul, why are you even talking about this? Right? I hope you're thinking that. Because I know most people, in general, in church and so on and so forth, I feel like most people have more faith than I do. And I think that